I'm Jeremy Shea, and this is the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. The state has instituted a freeze on hiring new state workers and has suspended all out-of-state travel for state workers. Ben Stevens, the chief of staff to Governor Mike Dunleavy, said in a memo to state workers yesterday that these are cost-saving measures in reaction to lower oil prices. He did not cite coronavirus. Legislative leaders also announced restrictions on out-of-state travel. Senate President Kathy Geisel explained that their decision was based on health precautions.
There's a virus out there, and if someone comes in and infects the others, we have to close.
The restriction is intended to protect legislators and their aides, as well as the legislature's ability to function during the session in Juneau. The leaders also strongly suggested staff's personal out-of-state travel be curtailed. The hiring freeze applies to all positions that aren't defined as essential to protect Alaskans. The out-of-state travel suspension affects all state workers. Lawmakers are considering bringing the session to a close if the coronavirus arrives in Juneau. The Legislative Council formed an emergency response preparedness subcommittee today that would develop a plan for an early adjournment of the session. Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens, the council chair, says the plan could include the possibility of closing the Capitol to the public or allowing lawmakers to vote by phone.
The goal is to be prepared to respond should the coronavirus arrive here in Alaska and in Juneau. Particularly.
Stevens says there are a limited number of votes that must occur before adjournment.
We've got to pass a budget. That's the one requirement in the Constitution. And the second requirement is we have to, or not necessarily a requirement, but a responsibility is to make sure that we confirm the governor's appointments or not.
Stevens says the subcommittee plans to hold its first meeting tomorrow in private. He says future meetings will be public. The subcommittee members include the leaders of both the House and Senate. The session is 90 days under a 2006 voter-passed initiative and up to 121 days under the state constitution. Today is day 50. The Emergency Preparedness Response Subcommittee could recommend ending the session before the 90 days are up. A multinational investment bank will no longer support offshore drilling in the Arctic, a move that could affect future funding for oil and gas projects in Alaska. Anchor Daily News reported Friday that Switzerland-based UBS Bank has joined several others in pooling investments in support for new offshore projects in the region. The world's largest asset manager, BlackRock, urged companies in January to emphasize steps they are taking to combat climate change. Some have argued the new policies could hurt projects that Alaska relies on for future revenue. Because of a more than 20-year-old lawsuit, the state is obligated to fund rural school construction. A group focused on education funding says Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of half of the funding used to build and maintain schools violates that commitment. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
In 1997, the parents of rural school children and others sued the state government. The lawsuit became known by the names of the first plaintiffs, Willie and Sophie Casiley. The plaintiffs said schools in rural areas that are not part of organized boroughs didn't receive adequate school funding. A judge agreed, and that led to a consent decree agreed to by all of the parties. Under this agreement, the state pays for schools in those rural areas, known as Regional Education Attendance Areas, or REAAs.
We fought that lawsuit and see it as one of our priorities of our work to ensure that the letter of that consent decree, of that decision, is followed.
That's Sarah Sledge, the executive director of the Coalition for Education Equity of Alaska. She's married to Senate Minority Leader Tom Begich. Her coalition filed the Casiley lawsuit. In June, Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed half of this money the legislature budgeted for rural schools. The coalition asked the governor to reverse the veto last July.
And now we are talking with legislators trying to see if there is a way to get those funds added back in.
That settlement depends on a law that says the state will fund rural school construction based on the amount of bonds that cities and boroughs have sold to build schools. Dunleavy's vetoes cut the amount the state pays for both reimbursing municipalities for their school bond debt and building rural schools in half. At least some lawmakers are sympathetic to Sledge's group's argument. Bethel Democratic Representative Tiffany Zolkowski chairs the House Special Committee on Tribal Affairs. It held a recent meeting on equity between rural and urban schools.
We hope that this serves as a good foundation by which us as a committee and in our relationship with colleagues to have conversations about equity can be made more approachable and more available and less polarizing.
The House didn't add the school construction money into a bill that's funding items that weren't budgeted for in the budget bill Dunleavy signed last year. The coalition is hoping that the Senate will. If not, it will be up to the coalition to decide whether to take the state to court again. Attorney General Kevin Clarkson's office notes that the amount the state funds both rural schools and municipal school bond debt have been cut in recent years, and it says these cuts are consistent with the Casale settlement. Assistant Attorney General Maria Barr.
And the AG will continue to watch how this issue is addressed by the legislature, but the final results of this year's budget process are still yet to be determined.
The Senate Finance Committee is considering the budget bill that the coalition would like to see the school funding added to. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
An Alaska School District Committee is continuing to update a proposed literature course that includes LGBTQ issues. KTVF-TV reported the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is still developing the course as part of its curriculum development process. The district's Curriculum Advisory Committee hopes to provide greater diversity of choices to students by offering the course called Social Themes in Literature. Residents have offered support and opposition during January and February school board meetings. The committee used the community feedback to make several changes to the course studying LGBTQ themes, which will also use material combined from other classes. Here's a little bit of good news about coronavirus in Alaska. If you need to be tested, it's likely free. The Alaska Division of Insurance is barring the companies it regulates from charging people for COVID-19-related testing as long as it's medically necessary. It's also asked companies to waive any payments for the office visit associated with testing. Alaska's health department has been doing all of the state's testing free of charge, but private testing providers are starting to ramp up to ease a supply crunch. Lori Wing-Heyer is Alaska's insurance director.
We want people, certainly, if they are presenting symptoms, to be able to go to their physician or their provider and not have to worry about the cost sharing.
Wing-Heyer's division has also asked insurers to allow members to get early refills of their prescriptions in case they're required to isolate themselves at home. The directives only apply to plans that cover about 50,000 people, those who get their insurance through the individual marketplace or a small group plan. If your plan is through a large employer, a public agency, or a union, Wing-Heyer recommends you ask your insurer for details about testing costs. At least two of Alaska's private insurers, Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield and Moda Health, say they're complying with the state's order to provide free testing. They're also following the recommendation that fees for office visits be waived. Jim Grasko is the top Alaska executive at Primera, which has about 150,000 members in the state.
We don't want to have any barriers to access for testing or any other related expenses to get in the way of people getting tested and treated for this.
The free coverage applies to both in- and out-of-network providers, Grasko says. A 17-year-old man died after he was caught in an avalanche in Hatcher Pass Monday, according to Alaska State Troopers. The mountain pass, about an hour north of Anchorage, is a popular area for winter recreation. Troopers say officers responded to the area just after 4 p.m. The agency says the man was snowboarding when he was caught and buried in an avalanche. Rescuers found him and brought him out to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead. The driver who hit and killed Skagway's mayor and her mother during a 2018 visit to Washington, D.C., was sentenced yesterday. Skagway's mayor, Monica Carlson, and her mother, Cora Louise Adams, were in a crosswalk on Pennsylvania Avenue when the driver made an illegal left turn, according to court documents. Tour bus driver Gerard James pleaded guilty to two counts of negligent homicide and faced up to 4 years in prison. He'll serve at least 6 months. Superior Court Judge Dania Dason delivered a sentence of 48 months but suspended most of that time. The 61-year-old mayor and her 85-year-old mother were hit and taken to an area hospital where they were pronounced dead. The women were sightseeing and planned to view the White House's Christmas decorations. The 45-year-old driver had decades of driving experience without major incidents and no criminal history. James' attorney, Todd Baldwin, said his client felt tremendous remorse. He says the man has since tattooed two women's names on his chest above his heart. Baldwin claimed the streetlights above the intersection were out at the time of the accident in December of 2018. Monica Carlson had been Skagway's mayor since 2017. Mayor Andrew Kamada finished her term, which expired last year. And finally, after passing the Alaska Senate last week, the bill to commemorate Ashley Johnson Barr's life came one step closer to becoming law yesterday. The state House unanimously voted in favor of SB 101, which would establish March 12th as Ashley Johnson Barr Day in Alaska. The day coincides with Johnson Barr's birthday. In late 2018, investigators say Johnson Barr was murdered and sexually assaulted outside of her hometown of Kotzebue. She was 10 years old, Currently, 43-year-old Peter Wilson is awaiting trial on sexual assault, kidnapping, and homicide charges. In an emotional speech on the House floor, Representative John Lincoln of Kotzebue expressed a collective loss that the village has felt since her passing.
There are some events and experiences, though, that are so egregious, so evil, and so hurtful that they stagger our belief in the basic goodness of life. Losing Ashley was one of those events, and I don't know how to make sense of it.
Lincoln remembered Johnson Barr as a bright member of her community who was an honor roll student and was active in the local churches in Kotzebue.
There are a few people, Mr. Speaker, a few rare and precious souls who bring an abundance of light and happiness and love into this world. Angels who lift up everyone they meet with their spirit and their enthusiasm for life. Ashley Johnson Barr is one of those angels, and she is a blessing to those fortunate enough to be touched by her.
In a statement, Walter Scotty Barr noted that if signed into law, he hopes his daughter's memory will, quote, continue to protect our present and future children from abuse, which helps give us a little closure in our hearts and lives. If signed into law by Thursday, the first Ashley Johnson Barr Day will occur that day, which would have been Johnson Barr's 12th birthday. And that's it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.